Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll take a closer look at Amazon.ie. Is it worth moving? What are the perks? And what are the prices? We'll look at the increase to your monthly phone bill. And as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so right now. Email me techtalk@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Instagram @JessKellyNT. But first, Amazon.ie finally launched in Ireland this week. There was a lot of fuss and a lot of fanfare, but we're now going to ask if it's worth moving from the .co.uk version to the .ie. Tech journalist Emmett Ryan is with me now. Emmett, how are you?
I'm good. How are you keeping?
I am very well, thank you very much. So this is something that has been a long time coming, but on Tuesday, Amazon.ie launched in Ireland. What do we know about Amazon.ie so far?
We know it's been a long time coming is the short answer, Jess. Like most of the people listening to this, I'm sure, who have used Amazon at all in the past would have treated the .co.uk up until Brexit as the default site they'd have used from Ireland. Obviously, the annoying part was the prices were in sterling, but other than that, it was effectively the commonplace presence for them. So .ie, I expect it to be out at least a year earlier than it was, to be honest. So it's been a very, very long time to get this up and running. But essentially means they're going to be promoting more directly in Ireland now, and there will be some Irish brands going on to it as part of it.
I'm going to play a snippet later on in the show of my tour of one of the fulfillment centres in Dublin. So they invested in that infrastructure. And for quite a while, anyone who had the .co.uk platform or profile would have noticed that if they had Prime, they were getting their products that bit quicker. While the system was working fine and the biggest inconvenience was the prices in sterling, why did they bother with the .ie?
Essentially, it was because of this Brexit. Like, there is the challenge there of sort of the fulfillment of goods. Like, a lot of people switched to the German one because it was just getting less practical, less easy to use in terms of transfer. So, having a presence in the Irish market itself just made more sense for them.
Okay, well, that does make sense then, I suppose. When we look at the pricing, so we know that the Irish price for Amazon.ie is €6.99 a month instead of around €11 a month. That is a saving, but you're not getting the full whack.
You're not, and not yet at all. Like, for example, the student version doesn't appear to be up there yet, which, considering the market people are trying to win over, is quite unusual. So there's still a student offering, which Irish people can avail of, by the way, with the .co.uk, where you get, like, I think it's 6 months free, and it's only $4.99 a month after that. So obviously that's quite appealing to a lot of people. So I would expect that to go online at some stage, but definitely still very much in the works, in the process type of platform, which again, Jess, I'll be honest, I'm really, really surprised by this, because I know Ireland isn't the biggest market going, but they clearly had enough sales here to justify a presence here. Yet at the same time, it's not the full service yet, and it took them ages even to get this.
Yeah, and another thing that you don't have with the .ie offering is the family sharing option, which is disappointing. You are also getting a smaller, I suppose, ecosystem as well. Like, so as you alluded to there, the student thing is not there, but there's also fewer products with the benefit of the Prime free delivery. So that's not ideal. It just feels a little bit half-baked.
And that's being kind, if we're being honest about it. Like, you know, right now, as like you pointed out to me earlier when we were chatting, like, there's no motivation to move off the .co.uk because the free shipping you get with that doesn't go away if you don't move your account. So, like, those people who are existing using it, like, the main motivation is, well, I get to pay in euro instead of sterling, which, you know, I suppose for some people will matter. But, you know, if you're losing a lot in the process, maybe it won't matter that much. Like, it really does feel like sort of, you know, a low effort, like it's like Tesco Express versus the big Tesco of Amazon.
Yeah, and I also think that one of the big things that put me off moving across was that you lose your order history and you lose your wish list and all of that sort of stuff. So if you are someone who, like, for example, I buy smart plugs from Amazon just because it's one that I like and it's more affordable and they work. But when I signed in to the .ie version, all of that history was gone. Again, you think that this is something that is such a fundamentally easy fix for them. It's kind of baffling they didn't just enable that clean transfer of data across.
Again, like, this comes down to, do they even want this to succeed? Because, you know, you've got the existing customers with, as you've said and I've said, several motivations to not move. If you're trying to win new customers, naturally you go to a younger audience first. They haven't got the obvious benefits for them versus the alternative platform they already have. So, like, who exactly is this for is a real question, like, to be honest.
Yeah, it's also worth noting that you don't have to move across to the .ie version. You can keep the .co.uk subscription. It just means that you're paying the slightly higher price and also you are going to have to wait perhaps a little bit longer for delivery. The benefit that I see to the .ie though is that you can order products that have batteries in them, because one of the issues with the .co.uk is that I could never buy, say, a backup power bank or something like that because they wouldn't transport the lithium ion batteries. So that is one positive. Is there any other that I'm missing?
Honestly, nothing else is jumping out. I suppose that they are going to be promoting some more Irish brands with an Irish section is one thing to, I suppose, laud somewhat.
Yeah, now I have had a scan through and there wasn't a whole host of brands that I knew and that I'd be eager to buy from. And I guess we should have that conversation of the impact on Irish businesses. I'm someone who, I'll hold my hands up, I do use Amazon every now and then. Very often it's because products are cheaper and I'm very aware of the cost of living, I'm sure, like most people. But I'm also, like, when I'm buying books, for example, I go into a bookstore. I've stopped buying the fast fashion and all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to support Irish brands that I utilize personally myself. But is that enough? Like, is this going to be a real threat to Irish businesses, or have the businesses in this country during COVID upped their online presence, enhanced their delivery offering and all the rest to make it an attractive proposition for customers to shop with them versus the big tech company?
The line I've been using with a few people this week is Amazon was never the threat e-commerce was, as in you had to adapt for that. Amazon's just the biggest player in it. And, like, as you mentioned, COVID, we saw this enormous improvement in terms of Irish e-commerce, like, at its night and day. Like, I have, I think, made one purchase on Amazon willingly in the last 5 years. And that was because it was actually to do with some equipment I needed, and it was the only place I could really get it. But I thought, and it's not because of any, I'm sure the moral reasons are great, don't get me wrong, but that is not my motivation here, is that I find the consumer shopping experience on Amazon to be weak, to be dated, and to not be up to date. And I say this as someone who sells books on Amazon. I just think from the, you know, if you want to maximize your sales, Amazon is not necessarily the best place to do it, despite the sheer scale of its market. Because when I think of where I buy from, and I mean online retailers, I mean from the smallest to the largest, most Irish companies, and again, I mean some really small ones, have a far better consumer experience at the most basic level, as in just buying the product. Then you throw on, obviously, the, you know, the natural level of probably going to get greater support in terms of any aftercare from a local retailer straight away jumps to mind. And, you know, it's probably going to get more relevant products pitched towards me when I'm using those sites directly. Like, I avoid Amazon because it's more convenient for me to avoid Amazon, which, you know, is kind of sounds odd considering Amazon is seen as like sort of this king of convenience. I find it a horrific shopping experience, to be honest, online, and painfully outdated. I think most Irish e-commerce companies, I mean, and I do mean the vast majority of them, have a far, far cleaner, nicer shopping experience. And also there's the convenience factor. Like, even when you're going with some larger brands, like, say, Marks & Spencer, for example, Jess, I buy my dress shoes from Marks & Spencer because I have large feet. I can't get them in store anymore. RIP to Heather's. That was a great store. But what I do there is, though, I'll order them from Marks & Sparks online, and I'll walk into my nearest store where I've ordered for delivery, collect them. And the big advantage there, because smaller stores can do this too, is I'm now in the physical location. I have a reason to be there because it's convenient for me to collect rather than make sure I'm there when the package arrives at my door. And I might go around and shop some more there. I typically will. And the same, it's the same thing. You've seen the smarter bricks and mortars have realized you've got to lean into what they offer that isn't just we have the product. Like you think of a Conn's Cameras in Dublin. People aren't going to Conn's Cameras just because they'll have stuff. They're going to Conn's Cameras, which is very close to where you are, I know, because they know. I know that if I go in there to buy, if it's, you know, microphones or camera equipment or any sort of peripheral, they're going to be able to tell me what works, what doesn't, and what I shouldn't buy, which is always a very important thing. And you can do that across the board. Like, you know, it's like, you know, lean into what you know, and like also that, you know, that relationship you have in the community you can have with people. Like, to me, that's the advantage that you have when you're a retailer who has the blend of e-commerce and bricks and mortar. You can use both to aid each other.
Yeah, and I think that customer service point is really, really important. And again, when we're talking about Amazon, we're not endorsing it. We're not saying you have to use it. I know a lot of people who have never had an account and they've no interest in having an account, but it is an interesting development that they have this offering. Although it's cheaper, beyond that, I don't see the real benefit to move across. A lot of people were frustrated that they moved their account to Amazon.ie and they lost, as I said, their order history and all the rest. It is worth noting that you can log back into the .co.uk and all your bits will still be there. So there's no panic in that regard. So look, I guess we'll watch it and see how it plays out over the next little while. But before I let you go, Emmett, I wanted to talk to you briefly about Meta AI. There's been a lot of talk about it in recent months. Mark Zuckerberg has been pushing it. He's also been pushing the team's efforts in terms of its development and investment in it. But they announced that it will be rolled out across Europe, including Ireland, on Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp and Messenger. What's your initial take on this?
I think there's an important line from, you know, Meta's, like, you know, own announcement. It's taken longer than we would have liked to get our AI technology into the hands of people in Europe. Obviously, that's to do with the regulations, which they say themselves, which is a good thing. It means they've had to actually observe EU regulations to get this over the line, which is always welcome. Like, yeah, I think it's a wait and see with this, Jess, because like we're still at a very much a feral stage when it comes to sort of these AIs that, well, anyone's using, be it for at a, you know, high-end corporate level or even the casual way you or I might use a ChatGPT just to ask a question. Like, you know, it's going to work as an assistant apparently in chats, and there'll be other, you know, sort of, you know, prompts and the likes. I'm not expecting, you know, people to be wowed by this, but I'm also not expecting them to be annoyed by it too much either.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's going to be included on WhatsApp, because we know that WhatsApp and Meta have constantly said that, and it's true that WhatsApp is end-to-end encrypted. Graham Doyle, who's the Deputy Commissioner at the Data Protection Commission, said that they've been working with Meta over the last little while. They've been examining Meta AI over the last number of months. They still have questions around how the AI will interact with WhatsApp. A spokesperson for Meta AI said that the AI will only read messages that are shared with it, and that your sort of private messages will remain end-to-end encrypted. I come back to this question quite a lot though, Emmett. Like, do we need AI ingrained in absolutely everything?
No, we don't. But at the same time, we don't also know where it'll work and where it won't yet. That's why we're sort of seeing it being tested in lots of places. Like, it's when you're cooking, like, you know, because, like, I know, you know me, Jess, I love the kitchen. Like, you know, I'll, when I'm trying to change up a dish, I'll see what I do with a certain spice. Sometimes that spice adds to the dish. Sometimes it's a really bad idea, but I don't know until I try it. So I suppose at Meta, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get it across their platform, see what actually works, see what sticks, and, you know, find out later if it's actually going to be helpful or not.
Yeah, but I suppose my point is that we were talking to John Riley a few weeks ago about new phones. He was over at MWC and there was a lot of talk from the likes of Honor and all the rest about how they're ingraining AI into the phones. The Samsung phones that we reviewed a few weeks ago on the Pat Kenny show, the big talking point when I interviewed the head of Samsung Mobile Ireland was around AI. Google has the AI ingrained in the phone. I mean, are all these platforms just spending money to try and be the top dog, where in fact consumers will, like they did with WhatsApp, pick one service and stick with it and the rest will become redundant?
That's essentially it. But obviously, if you want to be the one service we'll stick with, you've got to try and find a way to be the one that stands out. Like, and what people did stick with WhatsApp and it became the biggest, like others have sort of, you know, grown in presence, like Signal is the obvious one there in terms of increased use. But like, you know, that said, like Signal emerged from a, you know, absolute, you know, wall made of the corpses of failed chatting tools. There's an element there, obviously. They all want to be the king at that, but I think quite a lot of the companies involved as well feel they missed out in previous waves that have come along, and so they want to give their absolute all to see if they can win this particular wave.
Okay. Well, look, we will keep an eye on it. Actually, I just literally, as I let you, was going to let you go there, did you see that Ted Lasso's coming back from a season 4?
I did. I see this talk. It's, you know, Jason Sudeikis has said it's going to be focused on a women's team, which is going to be interesting because obviously it's going to involve a serious character change up in terms of the lineup, you'd imagine. So that'll be, obviously you'll still have Ted, you'd assume, but it'll be interesting to see what that means in terms of the overall cast lineup impact.
Yeah, I think that alone is worth me re-engaging with Apple TV Plus because I've kind of let it go. I think the last time we were talking, we sort of chatted through the different streaming options that are out there because we were talking about the James Bond franchise being owned now by Amazon. It's interesting to see what's happening and how they're bringing these big titles back because there's an awful lot of noise in this space.
Like, well, for the entire reason I have an Amazon Prime account, Jess, is to watch Reacher and to a lesser degree The Boys. So most people like have it for the retail side, and Amazon used a video to try and get more people using the retail. I got the retail as out of the video on. I haven't used the retail in years, but I, you know, have my go to shows that are pretty much only on Amazon.
Yeah, well, there you go. That it all comes down to, I suppose, what you, the consumer, want. Emmett, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Jess, you're a star.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I would love to know your experience. Did you move across? Did you lose your wish list and your shopping list and all those other bits and pieces? Please do let me know, techtalk@newstalk.com. And as we just said there, you know, this is not an endorsement of Amazon by featuring it. I know that some of you will have already picked up your phones to text or email in to say about shopping local. And for me, that goes without saying. It's something that I personally am incredibly passionate about. It's where I choose to spend my money. But to be completely honest, there are times when I do need a specific cable or I need those smart plugs or I want those smart plugs. So I do buy bits and pieces from Amazon, but where possible and for the majority of the time, I am shopping local. I would love to know your take. techtalk@newstalk.com is the email. Right, when we come back, I'm going to bring you a snippet from inside one of Amazon's fulfillment centres here in Dublin. I went out in December 2022 to see how it works and even pack a few orders myself.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
techtalk@newstalk.com, as always, is the email address if you want to get in touch. Before the break, I was chatting to Emmett Ryan about the arrival of Amazon.ie and the slightly underwhelming nature of it thus far. The reason I think I found it so underwhelming is because I went out to the first Amazon Fulfillment Centre in Dublin back in December 2022 and I saw the size and scale of the operation. And so I had very high hopes in terms of the offering, in terms of value for money. But as we just discussed, it doesn't seem to be there as of yet. But I wanted to bring you inside that fulfillment centre. So this was recorded in December 2022. But it'll give you an idea of how exactly a delivery goes from your cart on the website to your front door.
This is our inbound dock area. So we've got a gatehouse outside that accepts our trucks in. We know what's coming in. We've got a schedule of them. We've got what's known as a digital twin, so we can see it on a number of computer systems that let us know from a geolocation perspective where they all are, anywhere around the UK, Ireland or Europe. So we know exactly when they're coming to us. We book them in and we may decide to unload them if they're a live load or they can sit on a parking space. We've over in excess of 100 parking spaces on the site. And then we'll schedule them in on what's known as a FIFO, which is first in, first out. We will then make a decision on a daily basis over a 24-hour shift, how much inventory will we process? So we will make that decision generally about a week out, that we'll have capacity to inject maybe 60, 70,000 units into the building, etc. So we make that decision a week out, and then we will schedule the headcount towards that.
Just going to walk into where our incoming drivers come to us, and if there's something we saw during the pandemic and during other times is how important drivers are for any company. So obviously a lot of companies will come to us A lot of different haulage companies have come to us. And what's really important to us is driver welfare. So when they arrive, that they have a space to relax in as we work on the delivery that they've brought to us. So just for you to give you a quick insight. So this is our team that looks after our drivers in our yards. And just to see, this is actually one of our lounge areas for dedicated to those who arrive on site through our haulage companies. So just a space to relax, canteen services, areas to get refreshed. It's a nicer environment than sometimes just waiting in your HGV as you're waiting to be loaded or unloaded.
Yeah, so just to give you an idea, there are microwaves, there's tea and coffee, that all important stuff, there's vending machines with snacks, and then there is nice seated areas in a very bright and sunny room today, which is a change for normal Dublin weather, which is a nice space for people just to have that bit of downtime in between commutes.
Yeah, and especially the World Cup is on the moment, so a nice space to watch the World Cup as you're waiting for your next trailer to be ready as well. And we've lots of nationalities that come into this particular facility, so the World Cup is a big hit at the moment in this particular space.
Thank you.
So now I think Marcus has showed you how we have items arrived to our fulfillment centre. The next thing we want to do is put you to work a little bit, because you've arrived, and we'd like to stow some of those items into our shelves, make them available for customers, and one of our team upstairs will take you through that.
Amazing, let's go.
We will measure things. There is a randomness, but there's also a specificity about it as well. So certain items, such as all the books, are kept up here, and the purpose for that is they're easily damaged, so therefore, in order to give them to the customer in the manner in which they intended, we protect them in this manner here. So, as you would find in the library at home, smaller items are kept in drawers, because we're able to put more of those items in there. Mm-hmm. And the larger items, including apparel, will go in the larger bins here. So there is a system towards it.
So Jess, now we've covered stow, and well done on stowing your first item in our fulfillment centre. We're just moving on to our pick process. So right now this customer order is live. Karen Brady is one of our area managers on site today, and Karen's going to go take you through the process of picking that item for the customer before we will then go down to our pack stations and get it ready for our customer delivery.
Brilliant stuff.
So like when every picker comes in the morning or for the start of their shift, they grab a scanner and then they log themselves in, and it'll basically tell them where to go. So obviously we're broken up into five different floors and then different kind of sections. Everything is labelled with a number, so they know exactly where to go. And then like I was saying earlier, the process pad is also there. So whether it's like singles or multis or whatever, they have that as well. Basically then, first thing you do is just scan a tote, and then it'll tell you the location, it'll tell you the item, there's a picture as well which can help them. So if they don't know what they're looking for just by the title, they can kind of maybe compare with the picture as well. So
it's a double method of ensuring we've picked the right item. So yes, we can scan the barcode, but also having a picture of the actual item as well for every single item that we store in our sites is really helpful to our employees.
Yeah, because there are quite literally thousands and thousands of items in front of us. Yeah. So every little helps, right, in terms of getting that right item. So we have to now go to a particular location and get this particular paperback for this particular customer.
Yep.
Awesome, let's go.
Yep. Yeah, so obviously it matches up with each bin. Has its own like unique identifier, mm-hmm. and then obviously that matches up with the number that's on the screen. So you find the one you're looking for, which is here. You scan the QR code, and then it'll tell you to inspect and scan the item. So the picker will find the item that they're looking for, which is this book, mm-hmm. in this case. And then we do our six-sided check. So we basically have a look at the item, make sure that there's no damage on every side of it, and then once we're happy with it that there is no damage, then you just scan the item and it comes up saying that the item is picked, and just to put it into your tote. And then also we then just rescan the tote so that we're sure that it's in the right tote, because once that gets sent down to pack, if it's in the wrong tote for example and they scan the tote, the item is going to be missing. So in this case it just makes sure that we have the right item and we know where it is.
So Jess, now you have successfully stowed items for our customers, you've now picked some of your first items, and the second last step in the process is we now need to put that in a packaging that'll keep your item safe and in quality fashion until it gets to your home. So we're just going to walk into our main packaging hall here, where we have a lot of our employees currently on our different packaging stations, and we're going to set you up to pack one or two items for us today. So Jess, this is Jesus, who's with us.
Hi.
Jesus is one of our instructors, actually, for this area. So no better person to take you through how we pack our items.
So these are the two items that have been picked and inducted and ribbon. And the ribbon is brought to me for packing. So I pick it from the ribbon and I look at the screen for the system to give me instructions. So now the system says this is the package that I need to pack the items.
Okay.
Yeah, everything is fed into the system.
Very clever.
Then the system actually directs us.
It'll actually pick the smallest packaging type to again reduce waste
and
sustainability. So the screen will pick, it knows the actual size and weight of these items already on the system, and we know those items will fit there safely, securely, and then get shipped out.
I scan the items, I pack them, and the scan spool label is already printed on the envelope, so I just have to scan it and put it on a conveyor.
Okay, that was very seamless.
Yeah, and then it is processed through the shipping.
So Jess, you've now packed your first items, and the most important thing now is to get the person's name and their address. And right now, this amazing machine in front of us is doing that. So it's pulling the order off the system. It knows we've packed it. It knows exactly where it is in our conveyor system here in front of us. And each time you see this air cushion come down, it's applying the person's name and details. And this is the only point where those, where a person's name and details gets attached to a package. And as you can see, it's behind the safety cordon, not accessible to our employees.
And so am I right in saying that there are barcode scanners earlier on before the stickers applied to ensure that the right item is in the right location?
Yes.
And then the right label goes on.
And not just that. The system is so sophisticated, it's actually a weighing scale as well. And if, for example, every item that's in this fulfillment center has a registered weight, and the package that we're going to assign to it has a registered weight, and if somebody incorrectly uses the wrong package or puts the wrong item into a package, our weigh system will pick it up and say, there's something to be checked here, and it'll actually place it out here at the end, and it'll ask our team, can you double check that this is correct, because we picked up either a weight issue or it's a different package than we expected you to put it in.
And I assume they can scan the barcode and see where along the food chain something might have gone awry, because everything has been scanned along the way.
So out of the hundreds of thousands of items that ship every day across Amazon and millions of items across the EU, if something gets kicked out, the person can just open it, re-scan it, and make sure it actually was the right item or not before it leaves our sites. So as you can see now, we're standing here and there's a solid flow of items passing us, and it's label is on, address is on, and you can see no issues occurring.
And there are, just again to make people understand and to be appreciated, there are staff members here on hand checking any parcels that need to be checked. Also, I'm sure, being on hand in case, you know, the machines need a hand or whatever it is.
The person standing closest to us is our head of engineering for the site, because this is a really important part of our site. So Loic is actually here just ensuring that the standards are being met from equipment maintenance point of view. And we have one of our team members as well on standby, that if a package needs to be double checked, she can just double check that before it leaves. So Jess, we've now moved down to where our shipping department is. We have stowed our items, we've picked our items, we've placed our customer details on it, and now it's a case of sorting it. So at this point, all of our packages are coming down different lanes. We have Peter McAvoy here, who's one of our managers, and his team are working to ensure there are packages that sorted into different lanes. Why do we have different lanes? If you're a customer in Ireland, you'll receive your Amazon package through either an Amazon delivery van or Unpost. So every day we're actually segregating these shipments into what areas of Ireland they need to be shipped to ahead of their final delivery from that point on.
Yeah, that was my report from the original Amazon Fulfillment Center in Dublin back in December 2022. It is a massive operation. The scale of it is just insane. And it's those fulfillment centers here in Ireland that will enable the quick delivery that'll come from Amazon.ie. I know people are already texting and emailing in to say about supporting Irish businesses. For me, that goes without saying. It's something that I am incredibly conscious of personally when it comes to spending my own money. You may remember around Christmas time, we did our small business shout outs, encouraging people to shop local, go to your local bookstore, pick up books there. But there's no denying that Amazon, like, there's a convenience element to it at times. And also, there is a special section within Amazon.ie where you can go to the Irish brands page and you can pick bits and pieces. Now, to be honest, I would have hoped to see more brands there, but alas, that was not the case. So just before you give out to me for talking about Amazon, I'm not saying that you have to use Amazon. I'm acknowledging that people, including myself, there's sometimes there's random cables that I need and I turn to Amazon. So in that instance, it is useful. But of course, my key message, as always, is where possible, shop local. Right, when we come back here on News Talk, we're going to take a closer look at the increase that's coming to your phone bill.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
I haven't done anything. Don't you come to the wrong house, I'm telling you. You're making a big mistake. What are you looking for?
Police, suspect found. Show me how.
Get your hands in the air.
Show me how.
Get
your hands in the air.
My name is D.I. Bascom. I have a warrant to search your premises, sir. Where's your son?
He's in his bedroom. What do you need me boy for?
Where is he?
Mom!
Hey, he's only a kid, mate.
He's in fucking wrong house.
Okay.
Hey!
Jamie Miller.
What's going on?
The time is 6:15 a.m. and I'm arresting you on suspicion of murder.
What do you mean?
You don't have to see anything. Mr. Miller, I will arrest you for obstruction. Please stop. Please. I'm arresting you on suspicion of murder. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defense if you do not mention one
question. Dad, I haven't done
something
anything.
Which you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence.
Dad,
do you understand?
I haven't done anything,
do you understand?
That is, of course, a clip from Adolescence on Netflix. I'm sure you've heard an awful lot about it this week. It is one of the most impactful programs that I have seen in quite a while. It's very telling here in the News Talk office. You can always get the sense that something has really taken off when everyone on the third floor of Marconi House is talking about it. And that was very much the case when I returned to work on Wednesday. There was an awful lot of conversation, like deep conversations about the messaging of it, about the style of it, about the talent, the acting talent within it. So if you haven't seen it yet, I would highly recommend it. But I would caveat that by saying it's not something that you would watch to unwind after a long day at work. It's not a feel-good watch. It's one of those ones that will stay with you and will require a bit of digestion time. But there is no denying that it is an incredible production. It's also really interesting from a technological point of view because they, like, each episode that you watch, there's four episodes, each are an hour long. And each of those 1 hour episodes was shot in one take. So there was no blooper reel. There was no retakes. They shot each episode multiple times. But what you see on Netflix is an entire take, which blew my mind. You wouldn't know it to watch it. But upon reflection, you see the intensity and the emotion. It's just all so incredibly raw. It's like watching a play. So it's from a nerdy production point of view, I was blown away by it. But I'd love to know your thoughts on it. And in keeping with that theme, I also saw this week the former England football manager Gareth Southgate speaking about the toxicity that exists when it comes to the role models for young men. Take a listen.
Young men are suffering. They're feeling isolated. They're grappling with their masculinity and with their broader place in society, As real-world communities and mentorship declines, young men end up withdrawing, reluctant to talk or express their emotions. They spend more time online searching for direction and are falling into unhealthy alternatives like gaming, gambling and pornography. And this void is filled by a new kind of role model who do not have the best interests at heart. These are callous, manipulative and toxic influences whose sole drive is for their own gain. They willingly trick young men into believing that success is measured by money or dominance, never showing emotion, and that the world, including women, is against them. They are as far away as you could possibly get from the role models our young men need in their lives.
Yeah, that was former England football manager Gareth Southgate speaking, and it's incredibly timely to have that alongside the programme Adolescence that I just mentioned there, alongside what we're seeing in certain parts of the world when it comes to very powerful men and the messaging that they're putting out into the world, their treatment of women and minorities and others. I guess it's a bit of a time for reflection, but also to try and create positive influence in the world. There are so many brilliant individuals and organizations that are out there doing incredible work, engaging in people from all walks of life to try and stamp out the badness and, I guess, the madness. But it's no small feat. And I would love to hear from you. Who would you like to see being put on a pedestal as a role model for young people in this country? It can be from the world of sport, the world of business, the world of tech, the world of academia. Who stands out and should be shouted about as a role model? Drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. Because it's something that, since watching Adolescence, it has been at the forefront of my mind. And I guess rather than letting the negative role models take up the airtime, it would be nice to give a shout out to some of the positive ones, of which there are many. Now, earlier in the week, I was chatting to Ivan Yates on The Pat Kenny Show about a story that we covered on this programme a few weeks ago, and that is the increase to your phone, TV and broadband bills that are coming over the next few weeks. Derek Cassidy of Bonkers.ie was with me a little while ago to explain what you need to consider when you are a moving provider. There are offers out there to entice you to move. They do great introductory offers. You do get little perks. It is definitely worth shopping around. You can find that full podcast up on the News Talk app powered by GoLoud. Just search for Tech Talk. But I want to remind you that now is the time to do it because bills are going to go up in April. And what I would say, particularly when it comes to your mobile phone bill, say you're paying 60 quid a month for your phone. Don't. Unless there's a very, very good reason as to why you are sticking with that contract, I would highly recommend you move to one of the digital mobile networks. We have the likes of GoMo, which runs off the Air network. There's 48, which runs off the Three network. There's Clear Mobile that runs on the Vodafone network. There are so many options out there that will cost you less than 15 euro a month. And you'll get all you need in terms of your calls and texts and all that sort of jazz. But the big thing is it'll save you money. Now, yes, you will have to buy a phone every now and then when your phone dies. But as we're often talking about with John Riley on this very program, phones are lasting much longer. So if you currently have a phone that works and you have paid, like you're coming towards the end of your contract, I'd recommend shimmying away and move to a digital mobile network. And then when the time comes for you to buy a phone, you can get a really good refurbished phone for a fraction of the cost. Or indeed, you've got the option to buy it outright. But there are plenty of options out there. Now, when it comes to your broadband and your TV, just like with the mobile networks, I suppose, you'd want to go to comreg.ie and put in your air code and see which providers service your area. So when it comes to the mobile map, you want to make sure, obviously enough, that you've got good phone signal, but also 4G and in some cases 5G. When it comes to your broadband and your TV, not every provider will operate in every region. So you do need to put in a little bit of legwork beforehand. Comreg.ie is a great resource and it'll tell you what providers operate.
then get on to the operators and don't be afraid to haggle. See what you can get, but also take the time to read the small print on the contract. Just to make sure you're fully aware of all the T's and C's, the cooling off period, all of that jazz. But it is the time to do it. Right now is the time to do it. Allocate an hour, maybe two, and just get it done because it will save you money. Right, I want to get a look at some of your tech questions. Let's jump in to the inbox. First up, we have an email here from Jenny in Galway who says, "Hi Jess, could you talk a little bit about the new Amazon.ie site? I'm a long-term user with a lengthy past purchase list and I'd like to continue to access that, and I'm keen to continue using Audible, Kindle and Prime seamlessly. Was wondering if I should switch or not. Thanks, love the show." Jenny, thank you so much for your email. So as we spoke about at the beginning of the show this week, I'm not moving to Amazon.ie for the very reasons that you've outlined there. I use all of those services that you've just listed, and it's not as seamless a transition for me, and it sounds like for you as well, because you will lose that history. So I'm going to stick with the .co.uk version for the moment, and I'd recommend you do the same. Things may get ironed out over the next wee while, but for me, the saving of €4 is one thing, but then the loss of the lists, the order history, the family sharing is a big thing in our house. So that for me is just not enough of an incentive to move across. So I hope that helps. Next up, we have an email here from Kira who says, "Hi Jess, I'm traveling across Europe in a camper van this summer. How exciting. And I'm wondering if I can use my phone as I would here at home, or if I need to buy local SIMs in every country. I'm pretty useless when it comes to tech." Kira, first up, I'm very jealous of your camper van trip. That sounds like the dream. You don't need to buy a local SIM for every country that you go to. What I'd recommend you do is use your roam like at home. So find out what bill plan you're on, or pay as you go plan you're on. We are allowed roam like at home. That means you can use all your calls, texts and data. Now, it is worth checking the small print of whatever deal you're on to find out if there are data roaming caps. Sometimes networks will cap them at, say, 60 gigs of data, which is an awful lot of data. But just make sure that you are aware of that. You can also get your phone to alert you when you are coming close to a data limit. So if you go to settings and go to network and then go to the data side, you'll be able to set a data limit warning. So that's one thing to be mindful of. The second thing to be mindful of is, and I don't know what route you're going through within Europe, but there are some countries within mainland Europe that have overlapping towers with countries that don't avail of the roam like at home. So for example, if you're driving through France or you're anywhere near the border of Monaco or Monte Carlo, you may get hit with a data roaming bill there, because they don't, they're technically outside the EU, so they don't have the roam like at home thing. So just be mindful of that. The majority of the countries, you can absolutely just go about, use your phone, that's completely fine. If and when you are coming to a country that does have those overlapping towers, or if you're coming close to a border and you're not entirely sure, just take your phone off the data roaming. Turn off your data for that little period of time. Don't be watching any Netflix or anything like that. But you can take your maps offline. You can take your content offline. So you should be fine. But you absolutely don't need to buy SIM cards locally. That's just not necessary at all. So I do hope that helps. And enjoy your trip. Keep us up to date. I'm so jealous. I actually need to book a summer holiday. Anyway, the last email for this week is from Michael in Waterford, who says, "Hi Jess, my wife Marion has had iPhone since way back. Retired now and she needs a new phone. We cannot afford iPhones anymore. We're looking for a budget phone under €300. She's happy to go with Android. Her priorities are must take good photos, good storage, calls, text, WhatsApp, Facebook. Thanks for your advice in advance." Okay, Michael, so you've got many options, which is the good news. What I'd recommend you do firstly, though, is go and have a look at some of the refurbished sites. If her preference is iPhones, look at the likes of mintplus.ie, swappy.ie, or what's the other one? Refurbed.ie. they might have offers on some form of iPhone for in and around the £300. But beyond that, you are looking at moving to an Android phone. It's not as cumbersome as it once was. I'd recommend looking at the Samsung A range. There's quite a few there in that bracket that I think would fit. The newest one, I think, is it the A56. But the A54 is still an excellent phone, and it would be in that price bracket. Also, if you go on to mintplus.ie, they'll have refurbished Samsung phones for €300, if not less. That would be excellent. So you might even get one of the S phones from a few years ago. And the good thing about buying from the likes of mintplus.ie is that they do come with a year warranty. So if there's any issues, you can go back to them, and that's kind of it. So I do hope that helps. And as I said, the move from Apple to Android is very straightforward, so it should be an easy enough transition for you. If you have any questions for me, as always, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. It's time for my weekly mention of the training that we're doing at the moment for the VHI Women's Mini Marathon in aid of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. If you have a few quid to spare, be it €2, €5, €20, €200, whatever it is that you have to spare, I would be incredibly grateful if you would consider donating it to our fundraiser for the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. Every single cent that we raise is going to that incredible organisation. You can donate right now on idonate.ie/run4DRCC. So that's RUNFORDRCC. And as I said, every single cent is going towards the Rape Crisis Centre. I would love to hit my target of €2,000. I'm at €150 at the moment. So anything at all would make such a difference, and I would very much appreciate it. I went for a run on Thursday night, was not in the mood, but I'm determined to get it done and to be able to cross that finish line and hopefully have raised my €2,000 target for Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. Right, that's it for me this week. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. I'll be back with Shane and Kira on Monday's News Talk Breakfast. But in the meantime, have a great weekend.